So good morning, everybody. I love Easter, don't you? It's a joyful time, and when I think about Easter, I remember that, of course, life is just full of joy. There's a lot of joy in life. When I think about the things that are bringing joy to my life now, things that bring joy, one of the first things I think of is a baby's smile. That's like irresistible, right? Irresistible joy. When my children were born, like the joy was like more than my body could actually contain. I thought that was as good as it got, but then along came my grandchildren, which is even better because it's complete joy with no responsibility. And children playing and children laughing is always a great moment of joy. When I think of joy, I remember laughter. You know, when people laugh, genuine laughter, it's kind of a window into joy. Think of the last time you laughed so hard you cried. Or the last time you laughed with your family or your friends. Wasn't that a wonderful moment of joy? Isn't that fantastic? When I think of joy, I think of triumph. Here in Chicago, we've enjoyed lately some great moments of joyful triumph. The triumph after more than a century. The triumph despite all expectations. Those are especially joyful, and we all like to get in on it. When I think of joy, I think of love. Love, of course, is one of life's greatest joys, especially love that's lasted a long time, is an especially sweet kind of joy. The love of your family, the love of your good friends puts a foundation of joy into even the most difficult times of life. We're made for love. When I think of joy, I think of collaboration. I really enjoy working as part of a team. We've got a great team here in this church, the paid staff, but also all of our many leaders. It's really fun to work with them. There's a special joy that comes from working together on something big. Sometimes we get it at work, but we can get it also from serving in the church because we're here as a team, and it's a real source of joy. But of course, when I start thinking about joy, then I bump up against again and again is that it's not all joy. There's a problem in life. And sometimes it's hard to remember the joys. The problem is, of course, that life is shadowed by sorrow. All kinds of sorrows. There are disappointments. Boy, we had some big disappointments here in Chicago. And in life, there are disappointments. Things don't always go as we'd hoped. We didn't win. We didn't get the grade we hoped for. We didn't get into the school we wanted. We didn't get the job. We didn't get the promotion. Our car broke down at an especially bad time and expensive way. We wanted to get married but couldn't find the right person. We didn't get the big break to pursue our dream. Life is filled with all kinds of disappointments. Because if that weren't enough, there's also betrayals. Sometimes the people we trusted the most end up betraying us. They tell me this is a famous picture. Maybe it was a spouse or a fiancé. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a family member. If you lived much time at all, you've probably experienced betrayal. People are not like God. Sometimes they're more like the devil. Yeah? Most of us can put on a good face and move on in the face of betrayal, but in our heart, something dies. And then there's injustice and hatred. And the persistence of injustice and hatred challenges our determination and our joy. Just when we think the world might get a tiny bit better, up it pops again, in one form or another. And then, as if that weren't enough, there's violence and war. Everywhere we turn, every day, if we turn on the news, we find violence and war leaving behind a trail of victims and devastated people. And then there's unforeseen, unpredicted tragedies, all the tragedies that happen, fires, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, car accidents, so many tragedies. And then there's death, our greatest enemy and God's greatest enemy, death itself, which still reigns. And every time, it feels wrong. But it's currently the destiny of every person. And when I think on these things, the joys and the shadows, I turn to the resurrection of Jesus. But what I'd like to ask today is, what difference does it make? Like, we're celebrating because the date came up, and so it's Easter, and we're celebrating, but what difference does it make for real life? Maybe another way to say it is, what difference would it make if the resurrection of Jesus never happened? Well, life without the prospect of resurrection ends up pretty empty. In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon thought about the meaning of life. He recounts how he pursued pleasure, wealth, accomplishment, and wisdom far beyond anybody in his known world. But always in the end, it came up as vanity, that is, as empty, meaningless. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1, which I'll bet you've never heard this in an Easter sermon. But this is a wise perspective if the resurrection never happened. Now, I have carefully thought about all this, and I explain it in this way. Righteous people and wise people, along with their accomplishments, are in God's hands. No one knows whether there will be love or hatred. Everything turns out the same way for everyone. All people will share the same destiny, whether they're righteous, wicked, or good, clean or unclean, whether they offer sacrifices or don't offer sacrifices. Good people are treated like sinners. People who take oaths are treated like those who are afraid to take oaths. This is the tragedy of everything that happens under the sun. Everyone shares the same destiny. Moreover, the hearts of mortals are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they are still alive, and after that, they join the dead. But all who are among the living have hope, because a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. There is no more reward for the dead when the memory of them has faded. Their love, their hate, and their passions have already vanished. They will never again take part in anything that happens under the sun. Without the resurrection, this is about the best you can make out of life. The Apostle Paul, one of the chief witnesses to the resurrection, also chimed in on this question, what difference would it make if the resurrection of Jesus never happened? In 1 Corinthians 15, he writes, if Christ hasn't come back to life, our message has no meaning and your faith has no meaning. In addition, we are obviously witnesses who lied about God because we testified that he brought Christ back to life. But if it's true that the dead don't come back to life, then God didn't bring Christ back to life. Certainly, if the dead don't come back to life, then Christ hasn't come back to life either. If Christ hasn't come back to life, your faith is worthless, and sin still has you in its power. Then those who have died as believers in Christ no longer exist. If Christ is our hope in this life only, we deserve more pity than any other people. Have you seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Dial up Christmas, please. Right now, Wonderful Life. In the movie, there's a guy named George Bailey who comes to despair of his life. And so an angel is sent to save him, and the angel decides to show George Bailey what the world would be like if he had never existed. And in that same vein, I'd like to give you seven things about what it would be like if Christ were not raised. If Christ was never raised, number one, we wouldn't know Jesus. If Jesus of Nazareth was not raised from the dead, he would have been lost to history. Just one more Jewish victim of the Romans. No one would have remembered. The disciples would have gone back to fishing and tax collecting, and they wouldn't have written anything. No one would have written about him. Certainly not much. And we would never have even heard his name. We wouldn't know about his love. We wouldn't know about his teachings. We wouldn't know him. If we believed in God, we would have no real way of truly connecting with God because we wouldn't know Jesus. Number two, if the resurrection had not happened, we would have no purpose in life other than an empty pleasure. We'd be left like King Solomon, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. That would be all, and everybody who's ever tried it will tell you it ends up empty before you die, with a bitter taste. It'd be difficult to be fully human with no overriding purpose in life and nothing other than death to look forward to. Number three, if Christ had not been raised, we would never see our loved ones again. We'd be left with our grief with no hope. What a terrible state to be in. To have lost the ones you've loved and no hope of seeing them again. Number four, evil would be unchecked. Now, it may seem that evil is unchecked now, but it would be even worse than it is now. You see, without the resurrection of Jesus, there might be no more hospitals, because after all, hospitals were started by people who believed in the resurrection. There would never have been an anti-slavery movement. Who knows where we'd be? There might not even be the idea that all men are created equal. That also traces back to Jesus. There would likely be more corruption, more selfishness, more brutality than even now. It would be hell on earth to just be here if Christ had not been raised. Number five, we would have no hope for a better world. If Christ was not raised, then we're on our own. We would be all by ourselves, and therefore have no reasonable hope for a better world, especially once you realize that so often we're our own worst enemies. A world without hope is a world even more horrible and even more dangerous. Number six, our labor would be in vain. As he says, all our efforts would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. Death awaits us all. All of our accomplishments doomed to the decay of time. All effort in vain. And seven, the joys of life would be a tease, leading to disappointment. Even the joys of life would have a bitter edge, because without the resurrection, all those joys just kind of set you up to be even more disappointed in what ends up just in death and nothing else. That's what it would be like if Christ had not been raised. But Christ has been raised. Christ has been raised, and it changes everything. We have many evidences and many signs that Christ has been raised and that he's alive and working in the world. Christ has been raised indeed, and it changes everything. It means, well, number one, we can know him. Not only do we know about Jesus, we can know him personally. You can't know Julius Caesar personally, but you can know Jesus personally because he's alive. He speaks to us. He shows us his love. Sometimes we can feel his presence. We can read about his teachings and his life. We can know him, and in knowing him, we become connected to our Father God, and we are not orphans, but children of God. And one day, we will see him face to face, and we will be changed. And that is the glory that awaits us, because we'll know him. Because Christ has been raised, we have a purpose. After he was raised, Christ gave those who would follow him a place in his mission to make all things new. That's his mission, to make all things new, to make right everything that's wrong in the world. And that is the best purpose anybody could possibly have. That is the greatest mission ever, to make all things new. That's worth living for, and we all get to be a part of it because Christ was raised. Because Christ was raised, number three, we will see our loved ones once again. Because of the resurrection, we know that this life is not all that there is. There is more to come. One person has come back and told us about it. There is another side. There is more, and he has promised that he will one day, that we will one day share in his resurrection, which means we'll see our loved ones again. Death is not the end. Death is not the end, but rather one more step towards eternal life and glory. Because Christ has been raised, number four, good and right will triumph over evil. In the resurrection, for the very first time ever, death and evil were defeated. And in the resurrection, God raised Jesus not only into a body of glory, but also raised him to the highest place above all names and authorities and powers, far above all kings and presidents and dictators. He's already won the decisive victory. And because of the resurrection, I know and I can cling to that good and right will certainly triumph over evil in the end. And when I see evil today, I can say to that evil, you will not last. You will not last and you will not win. The first domino's already fallen. All the rest are coming. Your end is already assured. You acts of evil and hatred and injustice, you will not win, you will not prevail because Christ has been raised. Number five, he will make all things new and all things right. Because of the resurrection, we know that he is able to make all things new and right, and that is a great hope that gives us the power to overcome despair. When we don't see justice today, we can know that when Jesus rules as king on earth, complete and perfect justice will be done. When we see folks suffering in poverty and oppression, we can know that when Jesus rules as king, the poor will be lifted up, while the proud and the arrogant will be humbled. When disease ravages our bodies, we can know that he will wipe away every tear and take away all our diseases and give us immortal bodies. He will make all things new. Are you looking for that? Are you ready for that? Because it's coming, because Christ has been raised. Because Christ has been raised, our labor is not in vain. Because of the resurrection, we know that our labor will not be useless. Though often disappointed, though sometimes betrayed, through much suffering, we each and every one do our part to fulfill the mission of Christ, knowing that our labor and our suffering is producing an eternal weight of glory in the resurrection life that is coming. We cannot see all the results right now. We can't imagine how glorious it will be, but in that day, those who have remained faithful through it all will hear those great and wonderful words from the lips of our Savior, "Well done, you good and faithful servant, come and enjoy the joys of your master." That will be a wonderful day. The band can start making their way back up here. Finally, because Christ has been raised, the joys of this life are a small foretaste of the joys that await us. They're not a tease followed by the nothingness of the endless death. No, all our joys, the child's smile and laughter and victory and all those things are small foretastes of the joy that awaits us. If you think we laugh now, if you think we triumph now, you think it feels good for the Cubs to finally win the World Series, you cannot imagine. The joy and the laughter that will take place when King Jesus sits down at the wedding banquet of the Lamb. If you think we celebrate triumph now, imagine the triumphal joy that the whole world will have when death and Satan are destroyed forever. In that day, we will have joy unspeakable, joy unstoppable, joy with no shadow, joy beyond any in this life. And the resurrection is the guarantee that the joy is coming. So does it make any difference? It makes everything different. Everything. Christ has risen. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
Yes, Christ has risen indeed. So let us give him our worship, our joy, our hope, and our lives in honor of all that he has done for us. Let's stand.